I'm Amanda Tosoff, and you're listening to Orange Grove Radio.
And welcome back to Orange Grove Radio, the show that plays the latest and the greatest in Canadian jazz. I'm your host, Jenna Marie, and this week is a really special episode because I got to have an epic interview with William Carn and Tara Davidson of the Carn Davidson Nine. Their newest album, The History of Us, is the Carn Davidson Nine's third studio recording, and it's their most personal project to date. It's comprised of 2 3-movement suites, and we chatted about both of the suites, one that was written by William and one by Tara. We also got to discuss the song that is in between both of these suites, the song that they dedicate to their late cat, Murphy. All that and a ton more on today's episode of Orange Grove Radio. Before we jump into the music, I want to let you know that we have Twitter, so you should tweet us. Let us know what kind of theme you want to hear next, and maybe let us know if you have any requests. That's at OG Publicity. You can also follow us on Facebook and Instagram at Orange Grove Publicity. If you like the show and you want to listen to past episodes, you can find us on Mixcloud and Spotify. All you got to do is search up Orange Grove Radio. And lastly, if you like a track but you missed the artist's name in the title, don't worry because you can find all of our detailed playlists over on our website at orangegrovepublicity.com. All right, well, I'm going to start things off with a track entitled The Lion from the Johnny Griffith Quintet from their album The Lion, Camel, and Child, which came out in 2018. It features Jeremy Pelt on trumpet, Johnny Griffith on saxophone, Adrian Ferrugia on piano, John Maharaj on bass, and Ethan Ardelli on drums. I'm Jenna Marie, and this is The Lion on Orange Grove Radio.
Thank you.
Hey, this is Jenna Marie, and you're listening to Orange Grove Radio. Earth Voices is Amanda Tosoff's sixth album as a leader and the second to feature vocals. But whereas Words featured the marvelous singing of Felicity Williams straight through, Earth Voices adds six additional vocalists to the lineup in turn, each ideally suited to the song at hand. This is Sonnet 49 by Amanda Tosoff featuring vocalist Robin Dan. I'm Jenna Marie, and this is Orange Grove Radio.
Thank you.
I am here with William Karn and Tara Davidson, band leaders of the two-time Juno-nominated jazz ensemble, the Karn Davidson Nine, and we are celebrating the release of their latest album, The History of Us. I'd like to congratulate you both on the release of this very beautiful new album. And before we get into the details of The History of Us, I'd love it if you could tell us about your origin story as a collaboration, because I'm under the impression that you've been working together for 10 years, right?
Yeah. Well, Tara, I guess, I mean, we started this band roughly 10 years ago.
Yep. Right? 11, yeah, 10-ish years ago, exactly. Right. Yeah, end of 2010. Yeah, we're a couple. We're together. We're married. And William and I actually first met in other people's bands playing together. And we each had our own projects separately, our own quartets or quintets. But we really liked working together, playing in bands together, and thought it would be wise to form a group together.
Were you listening to each other's individual groups and thinking, oh, I think that it would make sense if we became one? Like, was the style similar? Was there something aligning there? Or was it like, let's just discover something new together, see what happens?
I think it was kind of that. Like, I knew Tara's recordings. We were together, and she had made a bunch before we started this band. And then she knew me from, like, when I was already out of school making records. But so in some ways, it almost was an opportunity, like out of maybe even convenience. You know, we respected each other's work, and I was like, well, why don't we just try? Like, so like you said, like we just thought, okay, well, let's try to make something new, and we'll pick an interesting instrumentation, and we'll just see where this goes. And we're just going to use our body of work. Like, at that time, we hadn't written anything specific for this band. We were just using our own original material from our small groups and just reimagining them with the help of some of our friends, you know, who we really respected as arrangers and musicians. I'd say at least half of the material on the first two records in our book was arranged by our friends, who we told them, just kind of go nuts. Here's the original song. Here's a lead sheet, and yeah, show us what you think, what you're thinking. You know, where do you see this going in terms of our 9-piece instrumentation? And it wasn't until later on we really started focusing on, like, this new record is all us. We did all the composing and arranging, but it's taken a while to get to this point, for sure. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, this is your third studio album, right? And I know that it is said to be, you know, the most personal one for you both yet. And I know that there are a lot of deep and, you know, challenging themes that are present here. And I was wondering if you could tell us, you know, generally what inspired the album, but also more specifically, what inspired each suite?
Well, my suite is a collection of love letters to my family. To my mother, my father, and to, I guess, my dad, again, his side of the family, the Davidson family. By the time I was 36, I'd lost both my parents. When I was 5, I lost my mom, and had the good fortune to have a great dad for, you know, another 31 years after she passed away. But after losing my dad, that's when I did start writing music for him. It started with a piece for my dad. And then, I guess, you know, the balance to what became a bit of a somber tone, was my way to represent or interpret my experience with grief, the grief I experienced after his passing. And so the balance to that movement was the celebratory Davidson dedication, which is inspired by Scottish, traditional Scottish folk music, bagpipes, you know, these, this kind of thing, more of a dance feeling to it. And then the final movement, which is actually the first movement of the suite, I finally wrote for my mom in the end of 2020, I guess. That's when I finally wrote that movement for her.
Out of curiosity, if I may ask just one question about this suite in particular, when you say they're like letters to your family, I'm curious about your process. Did you actually write letters to prepare for this? Did you like, well, how did you go about?
That's a good question.
That into music.
That is a good question.
That's a great question that no one's asked before. No, I did not write actual letters with words to my family before writing the music. I guess it's just sort of a metaphorical way to put, you know, a metaphoric way to talk about these dedications through music that I made for them. I'm not a writer of words, really. Like, I'm not, you know, I'm not poetic. Unfortunately, I don't have that a gift with words. So for me, it's, yeah, channeling my emotions and, you know, thoughts and, yeah, just try not to put that all through music. That's my vessel.
Well, thank you for answering my very personal question.
No problem.
This is Wisely, If Sincerely, by the Karin Davidson Nine from Tara's Suite. More from Tara and Will when we come back.
Thank you.
So my suite, like you said, like these are both suites, very personal. They're both about family, our own specific families. I chose to look at my parents' journey to this country, which is really, I mean, it's kind of a, it's this whole, well, certainly United States and Canada. I mean, most, if you really look at it, we're all immigrants to this land. So it's a story that's really non-specific outside of, well, okay, my parents came from Hong Kong. Maybe some parents came from Ecuador and some came from Poland. But it's all kind of the same. People don't come to a new country hoping for a worse life. They're hoping for a better future. So, and that's what my parents, why they came here. They left Hong Kong in the late 60s when there was a period of rioting, and it was a bad time in the history of the city. So low unemployment was just not good. So they were looking for more opportunities. My dad is half Costa Rican, half Chinese. My mom's Chinese. And so they went to Costa Rica first because my dad had family there. So really, they were looking. And they got there. They didn't have any money. That was the other thing, too. My parents are both... They were high school graduates and never went on to university. But, you know, so talk about rolling the dice, you know, like it's, I can't imagine. I that's the last thing I want to do is just to pick up and just move to a new country. They went to Costa Rica and I was born there. I don't know if they planned it that way, but that's what happened. But they didn't, because they didn't have very much money at all. It's one of those places, poorer countries. If you're poor, it's pretty hard to get ahead. And my mom thankfully recognized that and saw that there was an opportunity in Canada because my dad also had some relatives here. My mom had no relatives in any of these places. So she was totally alone. So yeah, they decided to come to Canada after being in Costa Rica just a couple of years. And yeah, so that's the crux of my story. So musically speaking, the first movement is about them. It starts off kind of somber. So this is like a whole movie I have in my head. I didn't write it out like you were asking, Tara.
I was going to ask you the same thing. Yeah. Like, how do you even begin to create a suite with such a vast, like, you know, intense journey that you and your family went on? Where do you start? How do you put that into music?
So, yeah, I mean, I know the real story, or as much as of the real story as I know. I wasn't there. My parents, they're older now. They've forgotten a lot. So I had to kind of piece things together. I knew what I knew, but then musically speaking, I did have kind of a movie playing in my head. So if people know the story, it really does start off with them. I imagine them at the airport in Hong Kong. So it's kind of somber in the beginning. They're saying their goodbyes, and then suddenly the tempo just doubles up, and that's they're on the plane, and in fact it's the first time they were ever on a plane in their lives. So you imagine, like, you're not just leaving your country, you're suddenly, or you're in the sky, you've never, you know, it was a whole new thing for them.
Thank you.
I know that there is a track that separates both these suites called Goodbye Old Friend. And this track, when I heard it for the first time, I cried. I mean, obviously it seems through this presentation that I cried through the whole album. Maybe I did. I'm not gonna reveal that information, but I did definitely do some crying when I heard the beautiful purrs at the end of this one. And I know that your cat meant so much to you. Yeah, yeah. So if you could just tell us, I mean, I don't know if this is cheesy, but maybe you could share a memory or one of your favorite qualities of your late friend Murphy, the cat.
You're trying to make us cry.
Yeah. So many. Oh, we miss him so much. He had such a big personality. He was such a cuddly, furry boy. And but that, we only got to witness that, actually. Like, he was quite a scaredy cat, I guess you could say. You know, family and friends that would come to visit couldn't really touch him, you know. He put on a big show, like a big tough show, but he was just, yeah, a snuggly love kitty. And yeah, I mean, we got him as a kitten. You know, he was like 8 weeks old, and he was almost 14 when he passed away in the summer of just last summer in 2021. And William, like, immediately, I mean, we were both of course heartbroken. William immediately went and composed. So that's his composition and arrangement for, it's actually just us. It's just William and I playing all those instruments. We recorded it from home.
That's so special. I read that in the liner notes, and I thought, wow, what a perfect way to do it. Both of you together.
Yeah. Yeah, it just felt right. And yeah, I wrote that song. Yeah, it was really just, you know, music is so many things. It's therapy, you know. So I literally just had my head down. I just put my hands on the keyboard, and slowly this song came out in a couple of days. And then I've been doing stuff in Logic a lot. So the original version is actually, it's all synths in Logic. And then Tara heard it, and she cried. Loved it. We both cried. I mean, I cried. I still kind of get teared up when I hear
it. Same.
Yeah. So she said, yeah, we should do this on the record. It's kind of perfect to have it as the in between, you know, the two suites to kind of,
it's so perfect. Transition. Because you've got your story here, and then you have the thing that connects you both in a really meaningful way, and then you have the other. It's such so beautiful, and I really appreciate all the thoughtfulness that went into creating this album. So thank you for sharing that with us, the listener.
Aww, thank you.
Thanks, Jenna Marie. That means a lot.
This is William Kern.
And Tara Davidson, and you're listening to Goodbye Old Friend from The History of Us.
And you're listening to Orange Grove Radio.
Thank you.
Can You Hear Me is Nick McLean's debut 18-track double disc solo album. It features 7 McLean-penned compositions, 8 standards, and 2 spontaneous improvisations. When talking about the album, Nick says that this is his most vulnerable, personal, and intimate recording to date. This is Things Ain't What They Used to Be by Nick McLean. I'm Jenna Marie, and you're listening to Orange Grove Radio.
Thank you.
everybody. We've almost reached the end of the episode, and it feels like we just got started. So you know what that means? You're just going to have to tune in next week at the same time, same place. It was so much fun to have Will and Tara join us today for an interview. It was great to be able to chat with them and also play their music. Actually, one of my first ever interactions, or more like witnessing of them, was at the University of Toronto when I was a student there. And they had a lot of knowledge to share. They're such generous, beautiful, kind people. They wanted to let you guys know about their Bandcamp page. You can go find all of their music at karndavidson9.bandcamp.com. As always, if you like the show and you want to join our online family, you can tweet us at OG Publicity. You can also follow us on Instagram and Facebook at Orange Grove Publicity. If you like the show and you want to listen to past episodes, you can listen as a podcast on demand whenever you want. Just follow us on Mixcloud or Spotify at Orange Grove Radio. And lastly, if there was a track that you really liked but you missed the title or the artist name and you want to support them, you want to listen to the songs over and over and over again at your own leisure, we got you. All you got to do is look up Orange Grove Radio on Mixcloud and Spotify. Closing today's show is going to be a track by Bernie Sininski. His new album, Don't Look Back, features some serious heavyweights. We have Barry Elms on drums, Neil Swainson on bass, Sam Noto on trumpet, and Bob Mover on alto saxophone. This album is a previously unissued recording of legendary Canadian pianist Bernie Sininski, and it features, of course, the people that we mentioned above. Bernie was born in Winnipeg, Manitoba, in 1944, and he's been a stalwart member of the Canadian and international jazz scenes for over 50 years. 50 years worth of jazz playing on a professional level is so much. I'm sure he's met so many incredible musicians. I know that he's connected with Chet Baker and Mo Kaufman, Elvin Jones, and so many more. This is One Is Enough by Bernie Sininski. I'm Jenna Marie, and I'll see you next week. Bye-bye.